Hello, and welcome to the Sky U podcast by the Daily Gopher. I'm Chris, go away you fur. With me this week is Andy, Gopher Guy 05.
Hello.
Well, we have a very football centric pod to start you off with, in large part because we've got both the NFL draft and the spring game approaching. I think because the spring game is really just a glorified practice, I view the NFL draft as a little more exciting. And Andy, you know, I guess my question to you is, first, how many golfers do you think actually get drafted?
If you have to put me on the spot, I'm going to say three. Boye Mafe and Daniel Faalele will for sure get drafted. Absolutely no doubts there. You know, if you have to ask me for the third one, I think probably the most likely is Isaiah Otomeo. I think he will probably go late sixth-ish round, maybe early seventh. Blaise Andres would be the fourth potential gopher to get drafted. It'll be interesting to see. His testing numbers were okay. And you never know what teams will do. I mean, the year the Gophers had, what was it, five or six guys drafted a couple years ago, I thought for sure Chris Williamson was going to be unrestricted free agent. And all of a sudden he got drafted in the seventh round by the Giants, and I never saw it coming. So I will never say never. It's possible that one of these teams might want to take a late flyer on Blaise Andres, and he'll go in the seventh round. But I think he's going to end up being one of those preferred free agent types with invite to camp. So I'm going to say three gophers, Boye Mafe, Daniel Faalele, and Izzy Otomayo.
You know, at this point, would you say Mafe is a pretty much a lock for the second round?
Yeah, I think he's a lock for the second round. There are still, you know, a good handful of mock drafts that do have him potentially sneaking into one of the last three or four picks in the first round. I know Kansas City's got a pick at 30. A lot of people say it's a potential fit there. Baltimore's another got a pick late in the first round. They also say it's a potential fit there. But if I have to make predictions, I'm going to say Mafe is probably going to go right around, I guess right around pick 40, 42. I think Faalele, we were all hoping originally he was a first round pick. I think he's slipping back a little bit. I think most likely he's probably an end of the second, early third round guy. And like I said, Otomeo, I would guess, is going to go towards the end, probably sixth or seventh round. But I do think Boye Mafe will be the first name you hear called. I do think there's a slight chance it will be Thursday night, so you may have to watch the draft all the way to the end of the first round Thursday night to see if he sneaks in there. To be brutally honest, a lot's going to depend on what happens in front of him. If there's a huge D-end run, which it sounds like all of a sudden now the rumors are going that there's going to be a huge D-end / edge rusher run, it's possible that Mafe might squeeze into the end of first round if that's what everybody wants. But if you know, the D-ends go off the board a little bit slowly, then yeah, trends probably are pointing more towards a early to mid-second round selection for Boye.
So really the final question I have NFL draft related is what are the odds of a surprise number one pick for pancake extraordinaire Coe Kieft?
I mean, it would be nice, but I think no. That will be one thing. But that will be one thing to look forward to. I mean, if you're an NFL, you know, draft buff, we'll be watching where some of these guys go, unrestricted free agents, if they get straight, preferred free agent deals, like I think Andres will, where he'll get a full invite to full training camp with the team. There'll be several other ones, Coe Kieft being one, Coney Durr another, Micah Dutrettaway is possible, Slam Schluter, where a lot of these guys probably will get invites to the initial rookie camp, but are going to have to blow people away to then get an invite to the full main training camp in the fall. So you know, hopefully we'll find out by the end of the weekend that Minnesota's got, you know, 5, 6, 7 guys from this draft class who have full deals going into to training camp in the fall. But it's possible that, you know, legitimately might just be the you know, the top 3 or 4 that have guaranteed deals, and the other guys are going to have to try and sneak in by showing off.
Well, this weekend also, of course, the spring game. Spring game is something that I would prefer to, like, just love to attend. Not prefer, I would love. Football in the spring, I don't care if it's practice. Let me go. Unfortunately, I live in Ohio, and, you know, I'm not flying back for a spring game. At this point, Andy, what, you know, has come out of the last part of the spring that has you surprised, interested, storylines coming into this weekend?
Yeah, you know, it's tough because you've got the, you know, basically month of fall camp, but then the spring game, when you're actually playing more of a physical game, you might not see a lot of that translating. PJ Fleck gave a press conference earlier this week, already said that you're not going to see Mo Ibrahim and Trey Potts out there. They're not going to participate in the spring game. So you always have one or two players who blows up and you're like, holy cow, but will they actually be contributors later in the season? That's always the question mark to see. You know, the main thing, if I'm watching, which I will also not be there because I will be unavailable. For those of you who are out of town, I'm sure they'll replay it again, but I know it's supposed to air live on Big Ten Network at 1 p.m. on Saturday. It's going to be the line play. I think watching the interaction between the D-line and the O-line, you know, Minnesota's still trying to get their offensive line set as we, you know, leave spring and go into fall. John Michael Schmitz is really the only main returner right now. And so I think all the rest of the spots around him are definitely open and definitely in flux. On the D-line, you know, seeing who's stepping up. Sounds like, you know, couple of younger kids, Devin Eastern and Jalen Redding, have sort of stepped up on the defensive tackle spots. So it'll be interesting to see if they can show off in the spring game as well. And then finally, obviously, it's going to be the passing game. Kirk Ciarrocca back, Tanner Morgan back, and hopefully more of a comfort zone. See how he can connect with his receivers. You know, obviously, the big story, and it will be going into the fall, is going to be to see whether Minnesota's receiving corps can play at a level that they need to be. Obviously, we know about Chris Hotman-Bell. Obviously, Daniel Jackson was beat up a little bit. Michael Brown-Stevens. But obviously, the biggest name everybody's waiting to see if he'll continue to take another step towards his development is Daylon Wright. If Daylon Wright can become a true top Big Ten receiver next fall, Minnesota's really going to have a fairly potent offense. So that's what I'll be looking for. And, you know, like I said, trying to see who's going to make that flyer and blow up. Last year's spring game MVP was Derek LeCapitan. And then we see what happened last fall. He didn't actually play on defense at linebacker, where he originally was, but he was sort of a hidden weapon at running back. So, you know, we also saw Daniel Faalele score a touchdown on the ground last year, which ended up coming full circle in the Gophers Bowl game. So you never know what type of fun things you might see at the spring game that might get pulled out later in the year as trick plays. So it should be something fun to watch and see who can step up and play a larger role, who will obsess over for a couple of weeks and then probably forget about until September.
Well, there's been a lot going on with the transfer portal, of course, not just for Minnesota. The portal's very active, as we've talked about previously, nationally. But, Andy, can you walk me through what we're seeing in terms of the main Gopher sports recently with the portal?
Yeah, you know, the portal, at least on the leaving end, had started to slow down a little bit. The Gopher basketball team, men's or women's, obviously, we know that several portal players had moved out and at the end of the year. So far, Lindsey Whalen has only brought one in, Destiny Oberg, a post player who played her last 2 years at Arkansas. She's a Minnesota native returning home. Doesn't have particularly amazing stats the last couple of years. So it'll be interesting to see what role she'll play with the Gophers. Obviously, as we said, the Gopher men's basketball team, they were, I think, one of 15 teams in the country that had not lost a single player to the portal this season until earlier today. Abdoulaye Fiam, the guard who played sparingly for the team last year, who everybody thought would hopefully play a little bit bigger role, he apparently entered the portal earlier here on Wednesday, and so he'll be heading out, giving Ben Johnson a potential for one more scholarship to fill. But the Gopher men have brought in two big names. A guy named Dawson Garcia, you might have heard of him. He seems to be well-known around these parts. Went to Marquette and then transferred to North Carolina and then didn't play down the stretch for North Carolina in their NCAA tournament run, as he was dealing with family issues back home, and a lot of his relatives apparently were dealing with some pretty nasty COVID issues. So he is officially transferring back to Minnesota, hopefully using the family waiver to be eligible immediately next fall. We'll have to wait and see how the NCAA decides to do that, but he meets pretty much every criteria to be positively waived for that. And then the Gophers found their new point guard, getting Talon Cooper out of Morehead State. Cooper was a pretty good player for Morehead State last season, ranked 7th in the country in assists per game. He's definitely going to be your lead ball handler, trying to feed Garcia and Jameson Battle and basically replacing the Peyton Willis role. So he should play a fairly large role on this roster. And Minnesota still has, I believe, now with the added portal entry, they still have 3 scholarships left available. So I think Ben Johnson would love to find at least one or two more players who can join in the rotation. Obviously, it gets tough right about now as you've got lots of players in the portal. I think there's still probably close to 1,500 players in the portal, and they have to sort of shuffle them way out. And some of these players who are looking for bigger roles eventually will have to realize that there aren't those big type of major starting minutes available out there for everybody. And so it might be worth, if you want to try and play in the Big Ten, to join in and find one of those rotational spots where, you might be the second or third guy off the bench, but you can play your 15 minutes a game and make an impact for a top-level team. So we'll have to see how that shakes out over the next few months. May 1st is the day to know. The NCAA has a May 1st date. If you want to be eligible for next season, you need to be in the portal by May 1st. So anybody who enters the portal after May 1st, I believe, would not be eligible for the 2022-2023 season. They'd have to sit out that season before playing. So don't be surprised if you see a few more last-minute names jumping in the portal here, both football-wise, basketball, and fortunately for the Gopher men, hockey. The Gopher hockey team added a couple of late departures here on Wednesday. Freshman Tristan Brose, who was a second-round pick of the Pittsburgh Penguins, started off a little bit slow for the Gophers, but sort of came on a little bit towards the end of the season, playing mostly on the third line, announced earlier that he's jumping into the transfer portal. We'll be looking for another place to play. He pretty much is one of those guys that he and advisors were sort of looking and decided that he might be better off trying to earn more playing time somewhere else. He was still going to be fighting for a second or third line spot with the Gophers. Instead, he'll probably try and go someplace else where he'll be a more featured offensive player. In this atmosphere, the way the college game works today, unfortunately, you can't really blame him for that, but it still will make things a little bit more interesting for Minnesota next year. And then late breaking news, late tonight, freshman Chaz Lucius, who was a first-round pick of the Winnipeg Jets, has decided to leave the Gophers and will sign a pro contract with the Jets. He will not start in Winnipeg. He's nowhere close to NHL ready, but there had been some rumblings in the background that he, and specifically his father, were not exactly happy with his role with Minnesota. He hadn't played since early February after he suffered a foot injury, and there was a little bit of dissension on how he wanted to treat that injury versus how the Gophers wanted to treat that injury. So, there was some rumors that he was potentially looking at the transfer portal, but instead decided he'll go pro. And we'll see where Winnipeg sends him. Apparently he can potentially go play in the Western Hockey Juniors, or he could play in the AHL next season. So it's potential. One thing to look at that they'll be interesting, his little brother Cruz was supposed to be a Gopher freshman next fall. He's been injured for a lot this season playing with the U.S. under 18 team. So it'll be interesting to see if Cruz still comes in as a Minnesota freshman, or if the Lucius family has decided to cut their ties completely with the Gophers and he decides to go play major juniors somewhere else. He can't transfer. He has signed his national letter of intent, so he can't decide he's going to ditch the Gophers and play for a different collegiate team next year. He either needs to come in, play for the Gophers, or he'd have to go the major junior route, getting rid of his college eligibility completely before then joining whatever pro ranks. So a lot of that may potentially depend on where he's drafted. He'll be drafted this summer in the NHL draft, and which team drafts him and how they want him to develop and things like that. So that'll be something to watch over the next couple of months. Even the Gopher hockey team is not immune to some late-minute transfer portal and going pro roster changes. Of course, still waiting to hear answers on both. Ryan Johnson, defenseman, has not necessarily made a decision whether he's going to go pro, whether he's going to return to the Gophers for his junior season next year. The other name that's still sitting out there is Sammy Walker. The three-year captain of the Gophers has not signed a professional contract as of yet. There's been no real inkling that he'll be back with Minnesota for his fifth season. His best friend and linemate, Blake McLaughlin, already signed a pro contract earlier this spring after the end of the Gopher season. So I don't think we would fully expect Walker back, but it's potential he could enter the transfer portal here and potentially try and find a new landing spot. So we'll see if we hear any news from him before the May 1st deadline. Otherwise, you'd have to assume that Walker will probably try and look to play professionally somewhere next season.
That is plenty of portal. I guess, what, anything else from the land of sports or Gopher, minor interests that have caught your eye in the last couple weeks?
Yeah, spring, obviously spring season is in full bore. We haven't really been giving it too much attention on the blog just because we've had news from other sports, and obviously, and the teams haven't unfortunately been as successful as we've had in the recent past. Softball has struggled a little bit. Baseball is still struggling. The one team that probably deserves a little bit more attention that we haven't quite given them is the Gopher track and field teams. Sophomore Shelby Frank, discus thrower. She's been the Big Ten Field Athlete of the Week three times this season. She set the school record in the discus last weekend down at the LSU event. She's got the fifth longest throw in the nation. First ever Gopher to reach 58 meters. In fact, I think it's the longest throw in the Big Ten this season as well. So Shelby Frank, somebody who definitely deserves more attention. The Big Ten Track and Field Championships in 2 weeks will be here in Minneapolis. So that could be a good opportunity to go out and try and pay attention and see some of these athletes perform. So we'll definitely have a little bit more information both on the blog and in the podcast as that gets closer. Another team that probably deserves a little bit more attention that we haven't given them, the women's tennis team had one of the best seasons they've had in school history. They have, I think, won their best 17 wins, their most since 2017. Finished eighth in the Big Ten. They open the Big Ten tournament tomorrow against Penn State. So hopefully they can maybe pull off an upset or two in the Big Ten tournament. But yeah, we'll have a full recap of the spring sports schedules here on the blog here later this week, early next week. Just try and give a good roundup of what's been happening. But obviously, our attention has been sort of attracted more by spring football and by the transfer portal action, because it's been a busy spring for that. That's for sure.
I think that's something we're gonna have to get used to. For better, for worse, for confusing, for it's all new, and there will be plenty of it, seems to be the trend. All right, well, thank you for listening to this edition of the Sky U podcast. In the meantime, go Gophers. Sky U Ma, row the boat.